welcome to a special Friday night edition of Way In Sports Talk. I am your co-host tonight, Brian Tarvin. I will be joined with Cuervo in just a few moments. Just got in the studio, running just a little behind of getting it all up, getting the chat room available, just in case any college football fanatics or sport fans want to join us tonight. This was an impromptu show, really. We weren't expecting to do one, but at the last minute we decided to do a college football show for you guys. So just to talk a little bit about Wednesday night's show, we had over 40,000 listeners to Wednesday night's Way In Sports Talk show. That was one of our highest shows of this 2013 year. But we haven't had a show that big since football season, right before recruiting. So very, very pleased with the outcome of that show. And thank you all very much for listening to us and making the show successful, as you always do. And some more news. We are looking for advertisers here at Way In Sports. We have several right now pending. We're looking to bring advertisers on the show. If you would like to, if you have a business and you would like to give us a 30-second or a 1-minute clip, we will run it. We'll do it one time per show or two, depending on what you prefer. But your audience is usually about 40,000 people a show, and I think it'll grow a lot for this football season. So make sure you get in, and you can email me at btarvin2000@yahoo.com. You can look me up on Facebook, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. That's T-A-R-V-I-N-O. And shoot me a message, and we'll talk about specifics. But just want to thank everybody again. This is an exciting time coming up. We're at the end of June, getting close, and just 2 months away from college football. I'm so excited. You know, we'll talk. We may talk about the NBA a little bit tonight. We'll see. But we have some NBA wrapped up last night. The Miami Heat took care of the San Antonio Spurs in a very good playoff, actually. I mean, it was real good. There were some lopsided games at times, but at the end of the day, I really do think the best team won. Game 6 was just too much to overcome for the Spurs. And now that basketball is over, we have the draft, I believe, next week, the NBA draft. A little more drama left to unfold, but guys, we're almost close to training camp. We're going to be talking college football and NFL football from here on out. And granted, we will talk baseball too. So if you're out there and you're a big baseball fan, trust me, we will talk baseball. But this time last year is when our show really, really started taking off. And this is when everybody starts realizing that football's here. Once July 4th comes and goes, we're on the downhill from there. Football, I think, is August 29th, I believe, the first game. So 2 months away almost. And when 4th of July comes, less than 2 months away. And we're going to really find out what these teams are made of. You know, we have the preseason hype, the expectations, and we're going to really see what teams are made of. And there's some teams that we're going to discuss tonight probably that I think is flying under the radar right now that could make some big impact, make a big impact in college football landscape this year. So I'm going to bring Senior Cuervo on in just a moment. He's going to be the host of the show tonight. I'm going to be the co-host. It's going to be fun to let someone else drive the conversation. I think he'll call back in just a moment. Sonny Clark's going to join us tonight for a little while. You never know. Jonathan could surprise us and call in. But this is going to be a college football show. And Cuervo does his show with Sonny Clark and myself, but it's usually on, that being said, Sonny Clark's channel. Tonight, Sonny's doing some IFL action, so he has an interview to do for the IFL Football League, so he's been getting his football fixed by calling IFL games. And I'm sure Sonny's going to have some exciting news in the next few months for us regarding the IFL, so we'll stay tuned for that. But that being said, is a show that Sonny does every Sunday morning. And actually, Saturday morning, following Sports Talk with the guys, one of the best shows on Block Talk Radio, if not the best, guys, honestly. Just listening to it, these guys know their football. Cuervo and Couch do a great job. You have to look it up. That being said, or just search Couch Potato in Block Talk Radio. That's his name. He owns it. He has the rights to it. So nobody out there try to steal the Couch Potato's name. So just excited to see what they have in store now that the IFL is over, really, and Sonny's getting into his NFL talk. And Cuervo is going to have his show coming on campus with Cuervo. It's going to be Friday or Saturday. It'll be Friday evening or Saturday morning, depending on his work schedule. But you're talking about some in-depth football breakdown. Cuervo brings it to you. You don't have to worry about anything. If there's a game you don't know about, he's going to make you know about it. Great show. And in the morning, every Saturday morning, at 6 Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, we have Sports Talk with the Guys with Roger Noriega. And the Big Dog joins him as the co-host. So that's one of the best shows on Block Talk Radio as well. So you need to get on there if you love sports and listen to these guys. Just a great all-around show. I really enjoy listening to them from 9 a.m. Eastern to 11 a.m. And Sonny Clark follows them from 11 to 1. So I think they call it the best four-hour block on Sports Talk Radio. And it probably is. I mean, I can't deny that. So really enjoy spending time with them. And another good show out there before we get started is The Last Word Sports News every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's Andrew Tonch. He's one of my buddies. He's a featured host as well on Block Talk Radio, so he has a show. And I don't know why Cuervo is not here yet or Sonny, but this is their time to shine. So I need them to come on and call in so we can talk some college football. So let's see what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about real quick Game 7 of the NBA. The Miami Heat took care of business last night, and surprise, surprise, San Antonio had the championship won on Thursday. I mean, they had it. I mean, they were putting the trophy into San Antonio's locker room. They were getting ready to pop the champagne. The Miami fans were heading out, and all of a sudden, Miami, a couple free throws missed, and Miami takes advantage, and now they're in. I'm going to have to call right back in, guys. Sorry about that, guys. We are back live on Way In Sports Talk. Sorry about the inconvenience. Had a studio issue, and the only way to fix it was to hang up and call back in. But thanks for bearing with me. We will not have any more technical difficulties tonight. I'm not used to having a Friday night show, but I'm going to give Cuervo just a few more minutes to come in, and they're not here. We're going to head out for the evening and see what's going on there. But like I said, the NBA last night, the Miami Heat, two-time champions. Look, guys, if anything, these guys showed how invincible they were. Miami took a step back, in my opinion, this year, watching them play. Instead of the big three, they were the big one for the most part. And Chris Bosh is a total failure in my mind as an NBA player. He's not worth $100 per game. And if I was the Miami Heat, the first thing I would do is get rid of this guy. I mean, just a waste of space in a contract. I've never seen a center as soft as he is. So Miami Heat, they're going to have to go in a different direction, I think, and get somebody tough underneath the goal so they can actually play defense down there and rebound and score, because LeBron James can't even go inside anymore. He's so passive. So if you want an inside presence and you want a toughness, you're going to have to go out and get a Hibbert-type center to come on your team and help LeBron out, because honestly, Dwayne Wade, I think he's over the hill in a way, and now we have Chris Bosh is just terrible in my opinion. And after watching that playoff with no points last night, he had a few rebounds. Just very disappointed in what I saw. But they are the champions, Jonathan, and what else can you say? But I'm very disappointed in what I saw in the Miami Heat this playoff series.
You know, I wasn't too impressed with the Heat either. You know, I've watched Game 6 and you watched Game 7, and all you could think was, yeah, Miami won the game, but did they actually win, or did San Antonio hand them those games? And at the end of both Game 6 and 7, the guard combo of Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili did a great job of handing Miami perfect opportunities to win.
Yeah, what a disappointment, Ginobili. I mean, Parker, I know he's hurt, but I'll tell you this, he must be very hurt in order to play the way he did, because he's a trooper, he's a warrior. So I think he really did play hurt. I really do think he was hurting more than they were saying. But Ginobili, I mean, he had one good game, in the entire playoffs almost, just, you know, the other night. You called it, he had 20-plus points, and then he just – he died. But tell me about Chris Bosh, Jonathan. I mean, looking at this guy, I mean, can you really consider him big? You call him the big three. Can you really put him in that category now?
No. Especially after last night. We have to realize he had 0 points last night. Zero. That is.
I would have scored last night, Jonathan. I would have scored.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have at least thrown up a half court Hail Mary. Bosh couldn't make a layup. He looked awful. He shot a three from the corner, and you could tell everybody in the stadium was kind of just went no. It was like a horror movie. Bosh is probably going to be traded. I said game five saved him. Game seven just cost him.
Traded? What do you mean traded? To be traded, you have to be decent. I think he'll be traded for 6 basketballs and a case of beer, bro.
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure Charlotte would be willing to give that up.
I mean, that's terrible, man. If anybody did more damage to their reputation and their image and their value, with Bosh. Does he not understand that if he would have played just above average in this playoffs and won the championship, that he could possibly be with the Heat or be with another good team and make money? But now, once this contract's over, I mean, he's over. I mean, he'll be making minimum wage cleaning the locker rooms, probably. That's how bad I think Chris Bosh played, and very disappointed. But, Kim, I know we're going to talk college football, and I'm waiting on Cuervo to get in to host the show. But let's talk about Tim Duncan. Is he done, or do you think he'll come back for another year or two?
Wow, that's tough. This really seems like the last stand for Duncan. Because let's face it, Oklahoma City gets Westbrook back. They have Durant, Ibaka. I mean, Oklahoma City, Houston, those guys are all going to be coming hard. They're going to be coming strong for San Antonio.
The Lakers?
Even you can never count the Lakers. You know, it's going to be really, really, really tough for San Antonio to be competitive next year because Ginobili's obviously not the player he once was. So if Ginobili was serious about his retirement talks, he might want to retire now. You don't ever want to go out like this, but if it's at this level, it's not getting better. So unless San Antonio can bring in a free agent or have one amazing draft class, I think this was Duncan's last stand, and it's a shame because you're talking about one of the greatest power forwards of all time. You know, he's a superstar without the superstar ego. You know, I mean, I can't say anything bad about Tim Duncan. I really can't.
Well, how can you go out? I mean, the competitor, a warrior he is, how do you go out with that taste in your mouth? I mean, he's got rings, trust me. He has rings. He's got plenty of them. But he was one free throw away from winning another championship, having 5 rings. You know that has to kill him inside. And it's eating away at him. And Popovich said, I believe he's going to retire when Duncan does. I really believe that. I believe he'll step away from the game as well. But, a championship would have probably retired Tim Duncan, but I'm not so sure now. I mean, the guy, look how good he looked this year. No signs of slowing down, Jonathan. I mean, who's to say he's getting a divorce? Who's to say he can't come back and play 2 or 3 more years? I mean, maybe he won't be as great as he once was, but he could help a lot of teams that need to take that step, that next step to get over the hump. I really believe Tim Duncan could get those guys there. I mean, could you imagine Tim Duncan just going to Miami and kicking Bosh to the curb?
You know, a lot of people have brought that up. They brought up the whole, you know, Duncan going free agent, going to Miami, just like Kobe could do the same thing. I don't see it happening. But I think for the sake of San Antonio, not just the franchise, but the city, because he is the face of the city, I think it'd be great for Duncan to stay a couple more years and have a David Robinson-esque, ride into the sunset where, I don't know, you know, David Robinson was the man in San Antonio before Duncan got there. They drafted Duncan, and Robinson essentially became second fiddle. Well, I think now it's time for Duncan to become second fiddle and hopefully since he can go out, draft him, you know, and Duncan groom a big man to replace his, you know, a huge hole in the middle of that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think if he takes a step back, I think he'll go. I mean, I think he's still looking at him. I think Parker, if he could get healthy and come back and Duncan comes back and look at the talent around, the young talent on that team. I mean, with a couple, draft a couple young players, you never know. I mean, these guys find people in the D League. They find them in the hood over there playing. They don't care. They go get players and put them into that system, and it works. I mean, I really believe I could play for San Antonio and be a average 4 points and maybe a rebound a game, Jonathan. So if I could do it with Popovich, I know other people can. So excited to see what happens. But let's move off of basketball. I think the lottery is next week or the draft's next week. So who's going to be the first overall pick in the NBA draft? Who?
Wow. A lot of people are saying Nerlens Noel, the kid from Kentucky who tore his ACL. I think the best move for Cleveland would be to drop Otto Porter Jr., the small forward from Georgetown. But, you know, my opinion doesn't matter to the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I would take Noel, too. I mean, he's too much upside to him. He did get hurt. But anytime you can put a body like that down low and somebody that can block shots and rebound with that talent, he's got to go first overall. You are gambling. Anytime you tear your ACL, I mean, it's not good. So there is a risk involved in this. And when you take somebody with your first overall pick, it has to be almost a sure thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And, whoa, I think we have Cuervo here. Cuervo making a fashionably late appearance. Cuervo, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Tarvin, how are you this evening?
Doing good, doing good. What's going on? Are you driving home from work?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm doing. So if there's any noise, please let me know. I'll mute myself as well, so that way there's no distractions.
Oh, that's fine, man. No distractions at all. We were just wrapping up. We talked about the NBA while we were waiting on you. And just seeing what you thought about Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Great. Classic. I loved it. I mean, was it the greatest game ever played? No. But you got to love Game 7 of an NBA Finals, especially with the, in my opinion, the two best teams in the NBA. It doesn't get any better than that. I think the game played out exactly like I thought. You know, San Antonio was going to, hang around for a while, but Miami was going to find a way to pull the win out. I mean, would I have liked to see San Antonio win it? Maybe Tim Duncan would have changed his mind and call it a career? Possibly. But we'll never know because the Miami Heat are champions once again.
You know who's the maddest person on earth about that championship? Kevin Garnett. You know he's pissed off that Ray Allen got another ring left himself.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's dying. He's dying inside. He's just probably on suicide watch right now as we speak. But, before we go into college football real quick, I just wanted to hit Hernandez for the Patriots. Any new news on that, Cuervo, have you heard about his arrest possibly being a suspect?
Well, I know there's a warrant out. They've officially made up a warrant for his arrest. However, obviously, he's probably nowhere to be found at this time. So, but I do know there's an official warrant for his arrest.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction here on Block Talk Radio tonight. And just from my gut feeling and seeing, I mean, there's so much smoke from this. This guy's going to prison for the rest of his life. He'll never play for the New England Patriots again. And maybe I'm overstepping my bounds. I don't know. But I'm just saying my gut feeling tells me that this guy's done. Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, I know Muscle Milk dropped him today. He was a sponsor for them or whatever. He was a spokesperson. I know they dropped him today. The news out of Boston has been very conflicting these past couple of days, and it has to be one of the most frustrating things I've ever tried to cover since, you know, the Connecticut school shooting. With how much evidence coming from the people inside conflict, where we have half of Boston PD leaking stories saying that there was a warrant was issued yesterday for his arrest and all this, and nothing happened. And yet today, where everybody, including ESPN, says there's a warrant out, but 4 hours ago, the Boston PD released made a statement saying there is no warrant. You know, everybody's saying obstruction of justice for destroying the cameras or directly linked to the murder, because he was in the vehicle, left the club with the guy, and when they got to Hernandez's house, the guy was no longer in the car. So it's just very confusing. If I'm the Patriots, I separate from Hernandez. I mean, I just find it ironic that Tebow shows up and Hernandez goes just off the wall reservation style. You got to love it.
Yeah, Tim Tebow is going to be the tight end, Cuervo, for the New England Patriots for the start of the year. What do you think?
Hey, what'd you say? He's going to be the pioneer, you said?
No, he's going to be the tight end.
Oh, the tight end. Okay, I thought you said pioneer. I don't know why, but yeah. Well, I mean, now he's got his shot. I mean, I know personally, I think he's a little undersized, and I've said that time and time again, but I mean, what other position can Tebow really play? I don't think he's fast enough to be a fullback or a halfback, and I don't think he's skilled enough to play quarterback. I think we've all seen that. We all know that. So I guess he's going to get his shot. I don't know how else to put it. But
they don't have anyone else to play the position. So Gronkowski's out. He's hurt. You don't know how long he's going to be out. Now this, so Tebow is smart enough and athletic enough to come in and play the tight end position for New England.
Absolutely. It's just a matter of, will Belichick actually give him a shot? That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. So, Cuervo, do you want to host the show and get us into college football?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have anything in front of me as far as like info is concerned. I mean, I can try to think of some things off the top of my head. However, I don't have any, you know, stories that I can look at this moment. So, basically, what I wanted to do was just kind of go over kind of what you've been doing lately, Brian, is just some teams to look at, you know, maybe a dark horse team in certain conferences, some players to watch out for, and maybe a team that could creep into the top 25, say, by week, you know, 5 of the college football season. Which will happen, just so happens, it's going to be Tennessee, I'm just saying.
They could. You never know about those Tennessee Volunteers. We talked about that, I think it was, last Sunday night. And Cuervo, I am getting a lot of background noise from your phone, I believe. I don't know what it is. It might be the road, the way it is. But I'm going to mute you just for a second and let you make some adjustments or whatever. That sounds better, doesn't it, John?
Always. I mean, yeah, I remember doing a couple of shows in the car and cringing at the noise I was hearing and imagining what you were hearing.
Yeah, I've done it. I've been riding in the car, too. It's just tough. It depends on what road you're riding on and what the weather's like, wind. He's in Chicago, mm-hmm. So you know it's windy. So anyway, college football, he's talking about the Tennessee Vols. We talked about them the other night, sleeper teams. And I'm about to push it back over to Cuervo in just a second. But there's always that team that's sitting out there right now that's just waiting. Nobody's talking about, which is perfect for them. They're under the radar right now. And if we see it every year, the 2010 team, it was Auburn. In 2011, mm-hmm. Who was it? It was – who was that? I can't remember. But last year it was Notre Dame. It was Louisville. There's teams like that that creep up every year. Yeah, Texas A&M. Nobody was giving Texas A&M a chance to win 6 games last year. Those guys won, 11 games?
Yes, sir.
I think they went 11-2, something like that, and had the Heisman Trophy winner. But this year, I have several teams in mind that are dark horses. When I say dark horses, there's two types of dark horses. There's dark horses that are going to make some noise and get into the top 10, you know, maybe a BCS Buster. And then there's dark horses that could win the championship that really nobody's talking about right now. And Cuervo, mm-hmm. I mean, who is that team for you? Who is that team right now that could come in and actually push it for the championship, actually, and dethrone the SEC? Or they could be in the SEC.
Well, I do have a team outside of the SEC that I have my eye on, and a lot of people have their eye on it. So I don't really consider them a dark horse, but I think with all the trouble that they've been in lately, a lot of people have, you know, stopped paying attention to Ohio State. Let's not forget, Ohio State, you say what you want about them, they're a winning program. They win games. They make BCS bowls. They may not win them all, but they make them, and they've been in multiple national championship games. So I think with Urban Meyer taking over now, he's not, you know, the god of college football. However, if anybody can clean that mess up in Columbus, it's Urban Meyer. And I think the Buckeyes are going to really give the SEC a run for their money this year. I mean, on top of that, I mean, as we all know, Urban Meyer knows what it takes to win in the SEC. He did it twice. So I think Ohio State's the team that gives the SEC, in my opinion, the biggest threat to dethrone them as far as a national championship is considered.
Well, I'll tell you a team that I'm looking at, that this is not a national championship team, but it is a team that, I mean, it's a sleeper because you don't hear a lot of people out there talking about them, that they could possibly win their conference and really cause some Big Ten teams some trouble, and that's Northwestern. And I know, Cuervo, you like Northwestern. You know, I think that's one of your favorite college teams as well, being in Chicago. But this Northwestern team has a chance to win the Big Ten this year. Nobody is talking about them. I mean, Jonathan, looking at them, do you think, is anybody talking about Northwestern right now in your neck of the woods?
Oh, my goodness, no. No, nobody's talking about Northwestern. They are actually my surprise team, my dark horse of the Big Ten. I love the way they played last year, and to think they were so close to being undefeated going into the Big Ten championship. I mean, seconds away. So you cannot ignore them.
Who are you talking about?
Northwestern, right?
Going into the...
They could have been. Northwestern was seconds away against Michigan. I mean, they could have done it. They really could have.
You're right. They won 10 games last year. That's right. And, I mean, the one thing I look at this guy, I mean, I started noticing them in 2009 with that coach they have, that they actually almost beat my Auburn Tigers. And you know, they really made some noise. I mean, they're a team. Who did they beat a couple of years ago? Did they beat Ohio State? Or they beat somebody that was undefeated in the Big Ten that was highly ranked, or they almost beat them a couple of years ago, I think. But this coach is the best in the business, guys. I mean, he's a tough – I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. But looking at him, Cuervo, I think Northwestern has a shot to win the Big Ten this year and surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I do too, Brian. And Pat Fitzgerald is the head coach at Northwestern.
Yeah.
He's a former linebacker. He used to play linebacker for Northwestern. He was on that team. Excuse me. He was on that team that played in the Rose Bowl when I was a kid. They played in the Rose Bowl against USC when Keyshawn Johnson was there. So that's a little bit about him, but. The thing I'm concerned about, and I can't remember if he's gone or not, is I think the quarterback play, I don't know if Kane Coulter's back or not. I can't remember if he got drafted or he's back in Northwestern?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so then I mean, I think Northwestern has a great chance of taking the Big Ten this year. I mean, like you guys were talking about, they've had some – nice wins over the past, you know, couple years. you know, they've shown that improvement. And I don't know, I think people here in the Chicago area should be excited about, as they call here, Chicago's Big Ten football team, which is Northwestern. But it's kind of a split, though, guys. Kind of like in baseball, either you're a Sox fan or you're a Cubs fan. Here, you're either a Northwestern fan or you're Notre Dame. There's a lot of Notre Dame fans in Chicago, too. So, but a lot of people are pulling for Northwestern just because, you know, they have something to cheer about.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I'm going to keep a close eye on them, and we'll break those guys down on our show. We'll break it up down on campus with Cuervo here. But I want to question you, Cuervo, real quick. Oklahoma this year, you know, losing Landry Jones and Stills and some of their weapons, I kind of like this team with Blake Bell running the quarterback position. I mean, the guy's huge. He reminds me of a Cam Newton with his body, you know, just huge physical. He can score down the goal line. I mean, I'm not sure about his ability to throw the ball because we didn't get to see a lot of it. But tell me about Oklahoma. Do you think they have a good chance to win the Big 12 this year and make some noise?
I personally don't think so, Brian. And you just mentioned it. With the type of quarterback they have, it doesn't fit what Oklahoma does offensively, in my opinion. They're more of a traditional, you know, pocket passing type team. That's the type of quarterbacks Oklahoma's had in the past with Landry Jones, with Sam Bradford, or even go back to even, you know, Jason White, who was the biggest, you know, flop of a Heisman Trophy winner, in my opinion. But, I mean, those are the type of quarterbacks that Oklahoma produces. Now they have, like you mentioned, a Cam Newton mobile type guy. I just don't know if it's going to fit what Bob Stoops does offensively over there in Oklahoma. So I think it's not necessarily a rebuilding year for Oklahoma. I just think they need to, you know, find that quarterback that's going to fit their system, and then they'll get back on track eventually.
Yeah. And, Jonathan, there's another team that I'm looking at. They're in the ACC conference. You previewed them, the North Carolina Tar Heels. You know, I think the ACC has a very good chance early in the season to be up for these games. And North Carolina beat South Carolina and Clemson beat Georgia. But this North Carolina Tar Heels team, new coach, you know, his second year, they went 8-4 last year at Fedora. Tell me about the Tar Heels. I mean, they could easily win that ACC.
Oh, they can't. I mean, you know, you can never really count out University of North Carolina Tar Heels. They recruit quite well. We've seen from, you know, past drafts that they obviously get talent there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, it all depends on Brian Renner, their quarterback this year. He's a redshirt senior. You know, it's his fifth year there. It's about time he finally puts a whole season together. Unfortunately, they lost both their guards, and they lost Gio Bernard, their best running back. Who was a playmaker. I mean, Bernard was phenomenal. So, you know, you have to watch North Carolina, but I just don't see it in them. I really don't, Brian, to be honest.
Well, I can see it early in the year. You know, they're practicing all year just for this South Carolina game. All they hear is SEC, SEC, SEC. Well, they got a very good chance to get some credibility back to their conference. I mean, it started with Clemson beating LSU last year in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. The Cuervo, if Carolina knocks off South Carolina, Clemson knocks off Georgia early in the season. I mean, that's two SEC powerhouses knocked out by the ACC.
Right. And, I mean, let's face it, though. The odds of that happening are very small. But, I mean, it could happen. I get what you're saying, and I think that's what everybody's waiting for. I don't know if you guys get the same feeling, but it's just kind of like everybody's just waiting for that moment when the SEC loses that type of game, and people try to make a big deal about Clemson losing Clemson beating LSU in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I don't know if they went back to the Peach Bowl, Chick-fil-A Bowl, whatever they call it bowl now, but. You know, I just find it funny that people are dying to see the SEC lose games. I just think it's a funny thing. But going back to what you're saying, I mean, there's a possibility that those those type of games could happen. And I believe, does Michigan not play Alabama again? I mean, this time they're playing up in Michigan. Am I right on that?
No.
Or they're playing in the neutral field, right?
No,
they play Virginia Tech. Alabama plays Virginia Tech in, I think it's in Atlanta, actually,
yes,
to start the season off. And LSU's playing TCU in Dallas. That's what's happening.
Okay, LSU and TCU. Okay, yeah, I remember seeing that. I remember seeing that now. So, I mean, honestly, I think, well, LSU's not going to lose to TCU. I'll just throw that out there. But what? Alabama, Virginia Tech, I mean, the chances are slim. However, you just never know. I mean, with McCarron coming back, I don't see them losing. But that's another, you know, game that people are going to watch out for and hope that the SEC loses. But it's I don't know. That ain't going to happen.
Like, I got a better chance. Chances of Virginia Tech beating Alabama is about chances of a hitter hitting a grand slam and scoring five runs off of it. It's not going to happen, guys. It's unheard. Virginia Tech has no shot. But I want to talk about a team, Cuervo, that you may – I don't know if you know much about them this year, but they're returning their quarterback, Keith Price, the Washington Huskies. I mean, that team seems like, to me, they're always that team you have to watch out for, but I think this year they're going to be pretty darn good.
Pesky. That's the word I like to use with teams like Washington. They're those – pesky teams that like to hang around and sometimes steal a win, kind of like Michigan State in the Big Ten or even NC State in the ACC. There's a team that you can't take lightly. You can't, or else you're going to wind up losing. So, I think as far as they're concerned, I mean, you're right. The Huskies are – doesn't Sarkisian still coach them? I don't remember if he still does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
he does.
I mean,
that's why I like him so much.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there for a while now, so I think it's about that time for Washington to take that next step.
Mm-hmm. I think with Chip Kelly gone from Oregon and Elaine Kitten at USC, you know, you're not worried about him. I think he has a chance to emerge as one of the top in the Pac-12, and I think he'll have his team ready. But let's go to the Big 12, Jonathan. The Oklahoma State Cowboys right now is a team that everybody's looking at. You know, the off-the-field issues with the quarterback, you know, not allowed to transfer, and now the coach comes back, Gundy comes back and says he can after he's already signed with Illinois, for God's sake. But any chance Oklahoma State makes a run this year?
I have Oklahoma State as my favorite. I think that they are the most solid team in the Big 12 this year. And, you know, TCU would actually be that team if we knew what Paul Hall would be. But I liked Oklahoma State last year. They were a good team. They were a pesky team for many years in the Big 12, and now it seems like they're taking the Big Brother reins over from Oklahoma. So, you know, I would definitely put Oklahoma State in the column of Big 12 favorite, and that they should win the conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very good team. And Cuervo, what do you think about the Cowboys at Oklahoma State in the Big 12 this year? With that offense, it's hard to bet against a team that can score at will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, how much did they lose, though, to the draft or just guys graduating? Did they lose a lot or?
No.
Well, then, yeah, I mean, with Oklahoma, I think they're going to have a down season. I think Texas is not what they used to be anymore. I mean, as long as the defense can give up less than 30, honestly, I think Oklahoma's got a really good chance of winning that conference. It all just depends on, like I said, the defense, and then, you know, Kansas State, I think, is a threat in the Big 12 as well. But other than that, I mean, Oklahoma State's got a really good shot as long as they didn't lose a lot from the offensive side of the football, then Oklahoma State, I think, has a good shot.
Okay. Well, guys, I'm gonna be a homer real quick and talk about Auburn. and that's my team, so we'll talk about them, and then we'll move on a minute to another good one of y'all's teams. But this is a sleeper team in my opinion, and the reason I say that, I mean, can they win a national championship this year? It's hard to go from 3-9 to a national championship. Let's face it. You get a new coaching staff in there, a new quarterback. But one thing I will look at this team and tell you is when you look at the offensive line of Auburn and you look at the defensive line of Auburn, they're deep and they're strong, and that's what you need to compete in the SEC. They're young. You know, you look at Auburn and they have a lot of experience on there now compared to what they had in the last couple of years. They were playing true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, Jonathan. They built depth over the last couple of years, playing depth, playing experience. I mean, the new defensive coordinator comes in, and it has a new philosophy, the toughness, the offense. You know, that's a given. It's going to score points. I mean, they have good running backs, receivers, offensive line. But do you think Auburn's a team that's possibly a sleeper team? Because, I mean, I don't think they're going to win a championship, but I think they're going to beat some teams this year and take some of the SEC by surprise.
I can buy on that. You have they have Ellis Johnson as the defensive coordinator, who was at South Carolina for a couple of years as defensive coordinator before he took over as the head coach of Southern Miss, and that was a disaster. We all witnessed that. And you got Ellis Johnson from us, so you beat us out for defensive coordinator. You guys could have had Pruitt.
No, thank you.
I just look at Auburn, and I see a team that a lot of people have picked to finish in the middle of the pack with Tennessee, Arkansas, and Missouri. You know, some people have Auburn finishing only above Kentucky in the SEC. I look at a defense that has a lot of upperclassmen, a lot of leadership, a lot of maturing, but I also see a defense that's breaking in a whole new linebacking core. I see a very solid offensive line, but I see a bunch of, I look at the quarterback play. I mean, if Auburn gets good quarterback play from guys that Gus Malzahn recruited at high school, that's what we have to remember. With Malzahn was gone, a year or two? These are his recruits still.
One year.
So these are his recruits at quarterback. So he already knows the offense he wants to run with them. He's not having to learn. He brought these guys in himself. I mean, Auburn is going to be a sleeper team in my book, no doubt. They are not my dark horse to the SEC, but they are a sleeper.
Well, you made a very good point about they're breaking in new linebackers, and that's a key. I mean, in the SEC, if you look at successful teams, they have great linebackers, good linebackers. I remember in 2010 we had good linebackers, smart linebackers. We didn't have Alabama linebackers or LSU linebackers. We had good linebackers, but just remember the name Justin Garrett. He's a beast, guys. He's going to take over the SEC. When you look at it, linebackers, you're going to look at him and you're going to say, holy crap, where did this guy come from? Chris Frost, Casanova McKenzie. I'm telling you guys, this team, the linebackers will grow up. And what you do is you have a few games, you have like three games in a row where you have a chance to let these guys play and get better before you really go to Baton Rouge after a bye week. So, Cuervo, tell us about Auburn real quick. I mean, I don't know how much you've studied the team this year or not, but, I mean, I think these guys can make some noise in the SEC and cause some teams like Alabama and LSU, Texas A&M, some issues.
Absolutely, Brian, and I'm going to be nice because I want to continue to be on your show, but I legitimately think that Auburn, has a very good shot to win. Call me crazy, but I think, 7-8, possibly even 9 games just because of, what you guys talked about, the philosophy that's changing and things like that. And, as you guys were talking about linebacker play, instantly in my head I'm thinking about past national champions and the linebackers that have played for those national championship teams, and you guys are hitting it right on the money. These Alabama teams from the past, I mean, they had guys like Hightower and I'm trying to think who before.
Rolando McClain.
Yeah, McClain was on the 2010 mm-hmm. team. So he was an all-pro. You look at the Florida teams, they had Brandon Spikes, and they had, you know, guys like that. You got LSU teams that had had some good linebackers. So, I mean, that's in the proof right there. So if you got good linebackers, then, you know, they're going to take you a long way. You know, defense, I don't care what anybody says, at the end of the day, defense will always lead you to a championship. It's not all about the defense. I mean, you got to put points on the board. But at the same time, you got to be able to stop the other team. And your linebackers are your captain on your defense. So it's all about the defense.
Well, you know, you look at football, and honestly, I think football is one in right now. I mean, these guys are what they're doing in the off season. Last year's Auburn team was sitting around playing PlayStation, smoking pot, getting in trouble, not working out. This year, everybody's working out voluntarily, Cuervo. I mean, this is a big difference in philosophy. I mean, these guys want to win. You go 3-9 and get pimp slapped all across the SEC, and you get beat down by 40 points to some of your rivals. I mean, I think really the weight training, you know, just the film studies, being able to get prepared for a season, Jonathan, that's so huge right now. I mean, your dividends will be paid because you're working hard. You're going to get rewarded because of the hard work you do in the weight room now and in the film room. These guys are out there now, from what I'm hearing, and they're taking it serious and they're learning. They want to play. It's a fresh start. So I'm excited to see what they do on the field. I mean, without a good quarterback, without the play, Nick Marshall will come in and be the quarterback at Auburn, I'm telling you. But if they get good quarterback play, Cuervo's right. I think they could go up to 9 wins. But if they get average quarterback play, you're looking at a 6-6 season.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't seem too far off. You know, I'm just excited for this offense to have Malzahn back. You know, I liked what I saw from Trey Mason last year. You know, with the signing of Artis Payne, you know, and when you return starting offensive linemen who are, you know, you're talking about 2 juniors and 2 sophomores. That is huge. One of the things that you have to look at when you're looking at a team is what they're returning on the offensive line. Because that hurt, you know, we were talking about the Washington Huskies earlier. That hurt them last year. Keith Price got smacked down last year because the offensive line didn't have enough depth from the guys who graduated that, you know, the previous year. So Auburn has it at offensive line, and that's why the excitement really, really, really needs to be there, is because he already has the foundation. It's time to add on the firepower.
Yeah, there's a kid named Greg Robinson. He was a redshirt freshman last year. I think he started every game. I mean, he's the highest probably rated NFL player we have. Like, you know, Corey Lemonnier left, but coming on the offensive line, this guy's going to be a stud. And around him, you have Reese Dismukes. He's a stud. He's a stud center. I mean, this will be his 3rd year, I believe, is starting. So I'm excited to see what they do, man. I mean, I'm very excited to see what they can do, and I don't want to waste any more time talking about them, but we will preview these guys when it gets closer to the season, and I can see really who's going to be the quarterback. That's the main thing, Cuervo, is the quarterback. And speaking of quarterbacks, who are the Tennessee Volunteers going to play a quarterback this year? What can we expect from him and actually the Tennessee Volunteers?
You know what? I don't think they've named a starting quarterback yet, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think anybody's won that job yet. Because Bray is gone. Heck, I'm trying to think who the backup is now.
Justin Worley, he's a junior.
Worley. The name does sound familiar. I didn't know if he was going to actually win the job or not. So if that's the case, then, you know, That's who it's going to be. He's a junior, and I don't know. That's going to be tough because he didn't really get to play a lot last year. As a matter of fact, I don't remember him playing maybe more than a couple of minutes in 2 or 3 games. So that's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough start for Tennessee, but I think he'll catch on pretty quickly. At least
he actually started 3 games last year.
That, I see,
yeah,
I didn't
Bunny
even
was
know
hurt.
That. I thought Bray
yeah.
was I thought Bray was playing all season.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
even remember what game.
Yeah,
Bray
was injured.
Finger
and,
or something?
Yeah.
He was out injured, and that's, I mean, he does have some experience, but let me tell you, when you have a system, Jonathan, like that, I mean, these quarterbacks come in and they just throw the ball around. Look at Chris Todd, what he did in the system, and some of these quarterbacks, you don't have to be a great passer, a great athlete, you just have to know the offense, and you never know what could come out of Tennessee, just looking at this coach. I'm a big believer in him, and real quick, you know, before we wrap up here in a few, you know, we heard Saban talking about, and we talked about this the other night, but in case somebody didn't listen, I really want to touch on this, is when you talk about defense trying to get advantage in college football, the offenses now with these new spread attacks and hurry-up offenses, they're causing defenses nightmares. Defensive coordinators are staying up at night, you know, having nightmares, looking at film, trying to wonder how they're going to be able to stop some of these offenses. And Jonathan, as year after year passes right now, and if you know, 5 years from now, I believe, I mean, these spread offenses are going to take over the game, and the tempo is going to get faster and faster and faster. So do you think they're going to actually change the rules, which will allow the defenses to sub on a first down, like Saban was talking about, actually? Or it was actually Arkansas's coach.
Yeah, Bielema's the one who wants that rule change. I know Saban started the whole thing because he does not like the spread up-tempo offense that Oregon and Texas A&M, teams like that, run. You know, they give him a hard time. Just look at Auburn 2010. You know, that second half of the Iron Bowl, Auburn just blitzed them on offense. You know, I don't think a rule change is going to happen. I don't. I think what it's going to do is it's going to make teams really decide who they want to play on defense, because you have a team like Alabama who's real rotation heavy on the defensive line and linebacking court. You know, players are going to have better stamina now. You got to be able to get out there and play. You got to be out there and give your all on every play now. You can't do three plays and your backup comes in anymore. You know, there's no more co-starting. Now you start. That's what's going to end up happening. I think that's actually going to be better to help groom these kids for the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Cuervo, one of the arguments they made, Bielema made on this, is the more plays ran in the game, the more likelihood of concussions happening, more hits happening. Do you actually think he'll ever win this, you know, this argument, really, and have the defense gain the advantage? Because right now I think it's a strategy that's being used and taken advantage of. I don't think it's going to change, and I don't think it should be changed.
No, I don't think so either. And bottom line, as cliche as it sounds, man, all these guys that play, they know the risk that they're taking. They know what they're getting themselves into. It's not a shock. Like, oh, hey, you know, you get to the college level of football, and now it's different. It's not different. It's the same thing it was in high school, just at a higher level. Yes, it's more intense. A little more intense and things like that, but it's not like the game of football has changed. They all know what it's about. So, but basically, no, I don't think, and I hope it does not happen as far as any type of changes like that are concerned.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'm interested to see where this goes, but I don't think you should say anything. You come in your first year in the SEC and start trying to change rules and do all of this stuff and try to get on Saban's good side. I mean, Saban's going to beat you into submission, Bielema. I mean, you can get ready for it. I don't care how much you kiss his butt in the offseason. It's coming. But I'm just excited to see it. Hey, Cuervo, are you and Sonny doing a show tomorrow after Roger's show?
I'm not sure, Brian. We haven't spoken about it. I'll have to get with him in the morning and see. But as of right now, we don't have a show scheduled as of right now.
So are you working tomorrow or are you off?
No, I've actually finally have a Saturday off. So I'll be there for Sports Talk with the guys, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Well, maybe what we can do is tomorrow, if Sonny can't do a show or something, we can get one. We can follow Sports Talk with the guys and do a more in-depth preview. I know it's late tonight. I know you got to get home, and I don't know if you're home yet or you're close or whatever, but we can always schedule something on my channel if we need to.
Yeah, that would be great. Just, you know, 1 hour like how we're doing right now or whatever. Yeah, that would be great. We could, let's see, we're just kind of bouncing around teams tonight. We could probably, you know, do some more of that and maybe talk about some of the, you know, some more like coaching changes, things like that. And, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things we could talk about. So,
definitely. I'll think of something. Jonathan, if you're available, join us and, probably 11 a.m. Eastern time. I think that's when Sports Talk with the Guys goes off. But make sure y'all join at 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with the Guys. And we will talk some college football, guys. I mean, I know it's late, and I'm about to fall asleep. I've been up since 5. So thanks for joining us tonight, and we will see you tomorrow, Jonathan. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Of course, guys. You know I'm always going to be here for y'all.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. Yeah, sorry for the technical difficulties, and we'll be on point and cue tomorrow. If we don't have a show, that means Sonny's having a show, so join us on that being said. So we'll have a good time, guys. So y'all take care, be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.